King George VI of England was once invited to visit a children's hospital. There was great excitement in the wards as the boys and girls prepared for the event. About mid-afternoon of the appointed day, King George, polished, articulate, and charming, accompanied by a bevy of officials and their wives, went through the wards. He stopped at every bed to say a word to each child. Later that evening, as the head nurse was making her rounds, she found one little fellow crying. "What's the matter, Jimmy?" she asked. "I thought the king was coming," he said. "Why, Jimmy," said the nurse, "he came. He stopped by your bed and talked to you this afternoon." But Jimmy remained unconvinced. "Was that the king?" he said. "But he didn't have his crown on. He didn't have his crown on." I want to tell you folks that 2,000 years ago, the King of Kings came into this world, but he didn't have his crown on. Today is the second Sunday of Advent. It's the period when we look forward to the first coming of Christ. We just call it Christmas most of the time. But this is the time of year when we love to remember and we love to celebrate the coming of King Jesus into this God-forsaken, sin-infested world. And when he came 2,000 years ago, he wrapped himself in a human body and he wasn't wearing his crown. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And if you will acknowledge yourself to be in that bracket, that category today, then you are a candidate for salvation. But if you refuse to acknowledge your need as a sinner, then God's salvation will never reach you. And when the trumpet sounds, you will be left behind and left behind forever. Forever shut out from that eternal kingdom that we call heaven. I want to leave a text of scripture with you today. We have read it in Revelation chapter 5 and it's found in verse 12. "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." You know, friends, as we look forward to Christmas, as we look forward to remembering the first coming of Christ, we ought to remember the second coming of the Savior. And our thoughts and our attention should always be focused on the second advent of King Jesus. And when Jesus Christ comes again, he is going to claim the rule of this world. That's the first thought I want to leave with you today from our text. Jesus Christ will claim the rule of this world. Notice what the text says. "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power." To receive power. He's coming to claim the rule of this world. If you were to go to the Tower of London today, you will be able to see there, or well, in a normal scenario, you would be able to go there as a tourist and you'd be able to visit what's called the crown jewels of the United Kingdom. Among the crown jewels there in the Tower of London, you will find a scepter. In fact, you will find six scepters. Not just one, but six. And they're a symbol of the power of the monarch of the United Kingdom. Queen Elizabeth II. But of course we know that Her Majesty is just a constitutional monarch. She doesn't really have any power. She doesn't really have any authority. She's not really able to wield those scepters. But I want to tell you that there's coming a day when a far greater monarch than Queen Elizabeth will return to this world and will reign. And he will take the scepter of ultimate power and will reign from Jerusalem, the holy city. Those nail-scarred hands will one day hold the scepter of ultimate power. He is coming to claim the rule of this world. But I want to say, secondly, when Jesus Christ, the King of Glory, comes again, he's not only coming to claim the rule of this world, he's also coming to control the resources of this world. To control the resources of this world. You know, folks, no matter what system of government there is in the world, the poor always suffer. That's the way it works out. Whether it's capitalism, colonialism, or communism, whatever system it is in authority, in power, you will find that the poor will suffer. The elite will get richer and richer. The poor, those in poverty, will get poorer and poorer. Because this world's resources in the hands of fallen men will never be rightly divided. But I want to tell you that King Jesus is coming again someday. And I want to say that when he comes, the resources on this planet will be rightly divided and equally shared, and no one will suffer. You see, the king is coming to control the resources of this world. Until he comes, the poor will always suffer. I want to tell you today that Jesus Christ knows what it is to be poor. He knows what it's like to be in the direst poverty. You see, Jesus once was poor. The Lord Jesus Christ had nowhere to lay his head, Scripture tells us. The Lord Jesus Christ, on one occasion, whenever he was preaching, he borrowed a fisherman's boat because he didn't have one. Whenever he rode into Jerusalem, he had to borrow a donkey to do so. Whenever he fed the 5,000, he had to borrow a young man's lunch to do so because he didn't have any food of his own. The foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Whenever he was crucified, he was laid in a borrowed tomb. Yes, Jesus Christ knows what it's like to be truly poor. And it was Paul the Apostle who referred to his poverty when he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, "Ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor." I want to tell you, good folks in the car park today, and indeed those who are listening in the village today, Jesus Christ is the one who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and in fact he owns the hills on which those cattle stand. But this great creator left it all behind and came into the poverty of this world and became poor for us, that we might be saved through him. And there's coming a day whenever he will come in glory to control the resources of this world. I want to tell you, folks, thirdly, that Jesus Christ is coming to crush the rebellion of this world. He's going to crush all rebellion. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power. He's coming to claim the rule of this world. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive riches. He's coming to control the resources of this world. But note that our text says, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive strength. Strength. That word strength reminds us that the King is coming to crush the rebellion of this world. The Lord Jesus Christ will return to planet Earth someday, and he will rule with a rod of iron. And woe betide those who are not on his side when that day comes. Let me ask you, friend, today, are you on his side? So many people are interested and concerned about whether the Lord is on their side. But folks, that's not the most important question. Most important question is, are you on the Lord's side? You can only be on the Lord's side or the devil's side. Only two sides. Which side are you on? If you have never been born again, you are still on the devil's side. No matter how religious you are, no matter if you have attended a place of worship all your life, if you have never been born again, you are still on the side of Christ's enemies. And I plead with you this afternoon to get onto the side of Christ, because he's coming to crush the rebellion of this world. Are you a rebel against the Savior today? Oh, it doesn't matter so much if you're a rebel against this preacher. Doesn't matter whether you like this preacher or not. That won't matter at the end of the day. All that really matters is whether you're a rebel to King Jesus. Are you still in rebellion against him? I urge you today to lay down your puny arms of rebellion and to cry out to him. For he maketh the rebel a priest and a king. He hath bought us and taught us this new song to sing. Unto him who hath loved us and washed us from sin, unto him be the glory forever. Amen. Precious, precious blood of Jesus, shed on Calvary, shed for rebels, shed for sinners, shed for me. Yes, Jesus is coming to rule this world with a rod of iron. He's coming to crush the rebellion of this world. Let me finish today. Not only is Jesus Christ coming again to claim the rule of this world, not only is he coming to control the resources of this world and to crush the rebellion of this world, but finally, let me say that he's coming to command the respect of this world. He will come to command the respect of this world. You see, our text says, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive honor. That's the key word there, honor. One day the Lamb who was slain at Calvary will receive the honor. Not a lot of people today treat him with honor. The majority of people use his holy name as a swear word. They generally speaking, they trample his five-letter name, that beautiful name, Jesus, in the gutter. And not much respect or honor is given to him in this sin-cursed world. But I want to say that the time, the day is coming whenever respect will be given to him, whenever honor will be given to him. We look forward to that day. But we must be realistic, and we must understand the way it is today. Not much honor, not much respect is ascribed to our King. The Encyclopedia Britannica allocates 5 columns to the Italian fascist leader Mussolini. It allocates 3 columns to the ardent atheist H.G. Wells. It allocates 2 columns to Herod the Great, but only 0.5 column to Jesus Christ. That says it all. He doesn't receive much honor, much respect in our world today. But friends, I'm here as his ambassador this afternoon to make it clear to you that the day is coming, perhaps sooner rather than later, when the tables will be turned, when things will be oh so different, and when the Lamb that was slain will receive honor. You remember the story of Haman, the man who wanted to exterminate the Jewish race. And he came to King Artaxerxes one day, and Artaxerxes had been suffering from a dose of insomnia. He couldn't sleep that night. And he asked one of his officials to read to him from the records of the kingdom. The records were read, and Mordecai's name was read, and the act that he had done in saving the king's life. And so Haman walks in just at the God-ordained time. And he say, and the king says to Haman, "What shall be done to the man the king delighteth to honor?" And of course, Haman thought, well, who's going to be honored but me? I'm going to be the one that the king wants to honor. But he was soon to discover that it wasn't himself, but rather it was Mordecai, the Jew, who was going to be honored. He was the man the king delighteth to honor. I want to tell you, folks, there's a man infinitely greater than Haman or Mordecai. And he's the man Christ Jesus. And today he's risen. And he's the King of glory. And he's at the Father's right hand. And he's coming again soon to receive honor. Because Jesus Christ is the man the King delighteth to honor. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive honor. The head that once was crowned with thorns, one day will be crowned with glory. One day they will bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Those hands, once stabbed and pierced by cruel nails, one day those hands will hold the scepter of universal dominion. Those feet, once torn and rent by the iron bolts of Rome, one day this world will be placed beneath those feet. For thus shall be done to the man the king delighteth to honor. The king is coming. Are you going? That's the question. The king is coming. Are you going? Perhaps I'm speaking today to someone and your life is a mess. Your life is broken and you're sitting, as it were, in the midst of the broken pieces. I want to tell you today that there's good news in the gospel. Because the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world and he went to the cross of Calvary, and when he hung there and shed his blood for you, it was just as if he was kneeling with you in the midst of your broken pieces. Jesus Christ at Calvary got down to where you are in the midst of your mess in the midst of your brokenness. And he went to that cross that he might save you from your sins and put the broken pieces back together again. And I can stand here and testify that he has taken the broken pieces of my life and he has put them back together again. And there are many in this car park today, and if they were standing here, they would say exactly the same. My life was broken. My life was messed up. And I couldn't put the broken pieces back together, much as I tried. But I gave all the broken pieces to Jesus, and he put them back together. And we're all just broken individuals. And when we go back into the church next Sunday, it'll just be a gathering of very broken people with skeletons, lots of skeletons in the closet. But yet the Lord Jesus has covered our brokenness with his precious blood. And if you will cry out to him today, this afternoon in New Buildings, he will give you something worth living for. Life was shattered and hope was gone. Crushing the load that I bore, then out of the depths I cried, "O God, give me something worth living for." There with life at its lowest ebb, who could heal and restore? Then he came and mended my broken heart. He gave me something worth living for. Oh, the joy of sins forgiven. Nothing's the same as before. My life overflows since Jesus came and gave me something worth living for. Something more than my yesterdays, more than I had before. Something more than wealth or fame. He gave me something worth living for. If you will come to Jesus Christ today, I want to tell you, dear friend, he will give you something worth living for. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to listen to your word today and to listen to the glorious message of the gospel. And we pray now that you will take the preaching of the gospel and draw souls to Christ through it. We thank you for your word that reminds us that it is through the foolishness of preaching that you save those who believe. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be our portion both this day and forevermore. Amen.